The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
As the Spirit of God moves in this place, right now, God is desiring to break yokes. The wrong kind of yokes that are around you right now. He's trying to break through the noise and the clutter that's in your mind right now, but get you to a point of a breakthrough. And even as you are going through, your soul can still say yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to the fact that you have not dealt with me according to my weaknesses, my sins, nor my iniquities. And yet, the song is a beautiful song, but it's a convicting song. Because God doesn't want what you gave him on yesterday or last week or last year. He said there is more that is required. So if you gave him a great hallelujah on yesterday, he's looking for greater. He's not just looking for fruit. He's looking for more fruit. Can you just say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's a In the pastor's pen, I give a prayer reflection, and I want to read it right now as part of our prayer as musicians continue to play softly. It says, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me another day, another chance to become a better individual, another chance to give and experience love. Because of you, I'm learning to love and accept myself. Because of you, I believe in believing. Please stay connected to me today and always, for I need you in order to fulfill my spiritual tasks. Show me how to love myself and to be able to love others. Help me to forgive myself and forgive others. Lord, make me a channel of your energy. And I thank you for giving me another day, another chance, another unused opportunity to do your will and to do it right. Every day that God wakes us up, he's saying, there is more that I require. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. And as great as yesterday may or may not have been, he said, there is more. He doesn't even give us the same bread on today that he gave us yesterday. This is the day, and it's fresh bread. Matter of fact, it's brand new mercies. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're not deserving. The Lord is about ready to not just get a word out of me, but he's about to get a word into each and every one of us. But before we get there, somebody's got to submit to the spirit that is in this place, because he wants to speak. Hallelujah. Father God, we come humbly before your throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. We thank you for blessing us to see this brand new day, this brand new opportunity to love you. But in loving you, it allows us to even for somebody to love themselves. And in being able to do that, we can love one another. Lord, the devil is indeed busy, but he's still on a rope and he's still on a string. And he still only can do so much. You are the almighty God, the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, the omniscient God. You are El Shaddai. You are Elohim. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nissi. You are the I Am. You are Yahweh. That's who we are acknowledging right now. The world seems to be pulling at our heartstrings and seems to be lowering our shoulders and has our chin stapled to our chest. But Father God, we're about to hear a word from you that no matter how long it takes, your promises are yes and amen. And you made us some promises and we're going to stand on them today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to stand on them today. For you are a man who cannot lie. And if nothing else, that's going to get us through. Lord, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you would be seen. And silence me that you will be heard. You said, my sheep know my voice. We are the sheep of your pasture. We need to hear your voice. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then you say, if you say that I'm your shepherd, why aren't you following me? Hallelujah, glory to God. So we decrease, that you would increase in this place. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It is truly in Jesus' name. And for Christ's sake that we pray, let every heart say amen. In the house of God, it is undebatable who's in charge and who's in control. In the house of God, the only rights we have are the rights that he has given unto us. So here's what I'm going to say, because this ain't about politics. This is about, this ain't a democracy. This is a theocracy. So if you are physically able to stand, we're going to stand for the reading of the word of God. That's not optional. You're not standing for me, and regardless of how you feel about this or that, we stand in honor of the word of God. If you cannot stand, we certainly understand. We don't take that as any disrespect. But if God has given you the physical ability, then we stand in honor of the word of God. Joshua 14, verse 6, from the New International Version of the Bible. What's amazing is how God has pieced this all together. I say this, and I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up, Sister Fitzgerald. You can't make it up. I have conversations sometimes with my ministers and my leadership and those, but I haven't talked to Lucky this week, and I don't talk to him, but the Holy Spirit has lined this up. Watch God, watch God, watch God, watch God. Joshua 14:6, New International Version says, now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said. He says, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you, and me. Let me just read that part again. Caleb's talking. He says, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to do me a favor and speak to at least 2 to 3 people around you. But I need you to speak to them with some conviction and some assertion. Matter of fact, I need some of y'all to speak different than how y'all sung that last song. Come on, somebody. Because you got to be convicted. I want you to speak with some conviction and some assertion. But you think about that song you just sung. And you tell your neighbor, neighbor, what God has for me, it is for me. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody else. Tell somebody what God has for me. It is for me. Come on. Now, wait a minute. Hallelujah. Come on. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that? Come on. Hallelujah. Now, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. And speak to the prince of the air. But don't speak to the prince of the air like we like to talk to him. We like to tell him, devil, you a liar. The devil said, I know I'm a liar. But you talk to the devil about some stuff, you're going to make a lie out of him. And you say, devil, what God has for me, it is for me. Now give God a hand clap of praise in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. What God has for me, it is for me. I got to ask you a question. Thank you, brothers. I got to ask you a question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That what God has for you, it is for you. Sometimes we try to fool one another. We try to continue to perpetuate that fake it to make it. But at some point, we can't fake this thing. You got to believe it. Do you believe that what God has for you, it is for you? Do you believe what you just said? Okay, well, that's good. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this then. Do you believe then that your best years are behind you? Or do you believe that your best years are yet in front of you? Give God a hand clap of praise if you believe that. Amen. Do you believe that your best years are behind you? Or do you believe that your best years are yet in front of you? Keeling, some people as well as some churches, they believe that their best years are actually behind them. Thus, as a result, those many people, and yes, even those many churches, believe that their future will be less than which is already past. I'm talking to somebody. If Griffith, as an individual, I believe that my best years are behind me, then actually I won't be much good for the future. Teach Holy Ghost. Huh? I don't care what anybody has said to you concerning your future. You've got to minimally tell yourself that my future still looks bright. Amen. As a matter of fact, if you need to encourage yourself, if you need to speak life to yourself, tell yourself, self, I'm not living in the past, but I'm living in the present, and my future still looks bright. Amen, 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 and amen. If we are going to achieve victory, our minds must be so aligned with God that we must quickly move beyond the past. As a matter of fact, you and I must become like the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. You know what it says. NIV says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. If you don't do nothing, at least do one thing. Come on, somebody. I mean, come on. If you can't, you say, I can't do nothing, at least do one thing. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. And the NIV says, straining towards what is ahead. Verse 14 says, I press on. I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In other words, Sister Graham, what the Apostle Paul is saying to us as individuals as well as us as a church is that we must forget the ground that we've already covered. Amen. See, I cannot waste my time over my past. That's good or bad. Come on, somebody. But I must strain every muscle. I must put every nerve to use, teach Holy Ghost, and I must use every ounce of my strength in order to win. Amen. Matter of fact, every now and then I gotta tell myself in the mirror when I get ready to leave the house, Sister Keeling, I gotta say, I'm getting ready to use everything God gave me. Amen. Amen. About ready to use everything God gave me. In other words, I'm getting ready to put it to use. I'm not going to waste the day. Amen. Got to do it so that I can win. And what I'm trying to win is the prize. I'm not focusing on my mistakes. I'm not remembering my past any longer, because what God has for me, it is for me. You see, when you focus on the ground that you've already covered, then you actually disqualify yourself from receiving the prize of your future. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, here's what I'm talking about. You see, the enemy, you know who the enemy is, right? Come on, somebody. The enemy wants you to focus on the mistakes that you've made, all the mistakes of your past. Why? Because you can't drive forward always looking in the rearview mirror. Amen. In order for us to be effective as a people and as a church, not just a local body, but I'm talking about the church universal, you and I must live in confidence of God's promise that some of our best years are yet to come. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that. I believe that some of my best years are still ahead of me, and that has nothing to do with my age, however young or old. Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, I believe that some of the best years of this church are not behind us, but still ahead of us. Let me tell you why that statement should mean something to you. Because the Lord willing, on next year, in 2018, around this same time, we're going to celebrate our 130th church anniversary. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. But I still believe that our best years are still ahead of us. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelation 21, verse 5, these words you're going to find. Amen. The Bible says, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write it down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now, let me just teach just for a moment, Finley, because when you look around the world and you see hurricane after hurricane destroying islands and lands, you see earthquakes shaking up countries, we got skittish, erratic world leaders. Come on, somebody. Name calling and hurling threats at one another. We got grown men acting like school kids. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. But yet, they need to understand this is no game that they're playing. So when we read the Word of God, we read texts like in the book of Revelation, we got to wonder, how does it seem that the future is becoming better and better when it feels like things are getting worse and worse? Amen. Well, that's because what you and I have to see in that verse is that in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the tragedies, and in the midst of warmongering threats that lie before us in our future, we need to know that, number one, God is still seated on the throne. Come on, somebody. Amen. I need you to see that. Not only to say it, I need you to see it in the word of God. God is still seated on the throne. And not only is he still seated, the Bible says he is making all things new. In other words, what God is doing is inviting us to that future. You know what that future is. Talking about the future that he has both promised and prepared for us. Some of y'all ain't getting it. So guess what? Let's go to the book of John. Come on, somebody. John 14 says, this time in the New King James Version, it says, let not your heart be troubled. My God, it says, you believe in God, believe also in me. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, watch what he said. He said, I wouldn't have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place, not for your neighbor, but for you. Said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What am I trying to say to somebody who shook up these days when you read the news headlines? Turn on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all this foolishness. It's foolish. But we need to know that God is not somebody, because somebody's asking the question, where is God? What is God doing? Care what age I got, we got the elders, middle age, I got my millennials, my young folk, they want to know, where is God? We need to know that God is not simply in the past, but God is in the present, and he's in the future, leading us and drawing us to the newness of life. Which brings me to the message. Told you to mark your Bibles for the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And I'm not going to put that up. I just want you to turn there. I'm not even going to go through a whole lot of background. But that is the background for the setting of here in Joshua 14. See, I believe in reading the Bible, but the Bible says study. The Bible also says, in all you're getting, get understanding. So if we're going to read Joshua 14, in order to get understanding, we got to know Numbers 13. Come on, somebody. Of course, we know back in Numbers 13, and that text, we have the report of the spies. You know that. Matter of fact, that's not up there. You're going to have to open up your own Bible. Come on, somebody. And if you didn't bring a Bible, ask your neighbor, can I look at yours? And if your neighbor don't have one, look at the one in the pew in front of you. Come on, somebody. Numbers 13, of course, you know. And matter of fact, if you read the Bible, you know the story. Report of the spies that returned back to Moses and the children of Israel. Now, let me just tell you this about the 12. There were 12 spies. None of the 12, I know that there were 10 that gave an evil report, but none of the 12 could deny that the land of Canaan was very fruitful. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's true. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they brought back a bunch of grapes as a demonstration of the fruitfulness of Canaan. I got some folk chuckling. I got some Bible readers in here. God had promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And the evil spies themselves even admitted that was such a land. Yep, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. However, the 10 evil spies began to share how strong the enemy looked, Sister Starworth, and how fearful they were, indicating that they were no match for what was in Canaan. They said, in essence, they said, oh yes, the land is everything that God said it would be. But the obstacles are too much. I'll say it again. They said, oh yeah, the land that God promised is everything that he said that it would be. There's no denying that. But we also need to share that the obstacles appear to be too much for us to overcome. Can I tell you, that sounds a whole lot I like the enemy of today. Teach Holy Ghost. Sounds a whole lot like the enemy of today. He tells us, yes, the future does look bright for you. God indeed has set some things in order that are just for you. But the obstacles, do you see the obstacles that you got to overcome? Do you see some stuff that you're going to have to go through to get to it? The obstacles are too much for you to receive. What God has said is yours. And instead of hearing the voice of God, we continue to submit to the voice of the devil. I told you, the devil is still asking the same question that he asked Eve in the garden. And we still trying to figure out where was Adam and who sinned first. And the Bible is clear that the devil is still asking, did God really say? See, we stuck on the wrong stuff. We still arguing about that. Where was Adam? What? God is still asking. The devil is saying, did God really say? Showing us obstacles. But Caleb and Joshua, they stood for God. God in today's times needs some folk to stand for him. Got to quit falling for everything. We hear something on Facebook and we running with it. Pew! Did you hear? Where'd you hear it from? Facebook? Caleb and Joshua stood for God, Griffith. They knew, watch this, that if God promised it, then it was going to come to pass. They knew that their God was greater than anything that would stand in the midst of their way, even the stuff in Canaan. Can I show you some of the word? So what did they promise? What was one of the promises? I know that God. Now, I know that God promised that they would have the land, but what was the big promise that they were standing on? Well, it's in Exodus 33:2. It's in Exodus 33:2. It's right there. God said, he says, I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. In other words, everything that you see and you worried about, I'm going to drive it out. Amen. He told them that. He told them not even before they saw what was in there. What has God told you already? What has God already told you before he even sent you to see what he has set for you? You got to know the word of God. He says, I'm going to send an angel before you and drive it out. Listen, it does not matter what the situation appears to be. I'm talking, I don't know where you are. I don't know what your circumstance is, but the Holy Spirit sent me here to talk to you. Doesn't matter what the situation appears to be. It does not matter what the circumstances are. If you have God's promise, come on, somebody. If you have God's promise, you will be able to do whatever he has said you can do, and you can have whatever he said he says he has for you. Amen. They had already been delivered from Egypt. They had been delivered from Egypt in their past. And yes, that was a great victory. But here it is, God wasn't finished with them. God has delivered you, me, all of us from some great victories in our past. And we praise God. We thank God. But he's not finished with us. Even though their past was great, their future would be greater. they were to inherit a whole country that God had promised them. You see, it's God's word, not your situation, nor your circumstances, that should control your actions. Amen. I say it again. It's the word of God. It's God's word, not your circumstances and not your situation, that should control your actions. Part of the problem with too many of us, Sister Cynthia, in the church is that we aren't trusting God's word enough. Now, I didn't say we weren't reading it. I didn't say that we didn't necessarily know what it said. I said we weren't trusting God's word enough. You see, you and I can't defeat the enemy in our own strength. You and I cannot defeat the enemy under our own power. But we can defeat him if we stand on the word of God, knowing that the promises of God are what? Yes, come on somebody, and amen. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can prevent you from maintaining victory as long as you are standing on the word of God. The day has dawned, my brothers and my sisters, that you and I need to stop always talking about our problems, always talking about our difficulties, always talking about our obstacles, but we need to turn our eyes away from the giants, away from the fortified cities, away from what we think is impossible, away from what we think is fear, worry, stress, and concern, and turn our eyes unto a God who has already given us the victory. Amen. Back in our text, Joshua 14, I want you to see this here. I read verse 6. But I want to jump to verse 7 through 9 because, again, Caleb is still talking. Caleb is talking. He says, I was 45 years old. I'm in the word of God. When Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Verse 9 says, so on that day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Watch the text. He said, listen, I know what God said. I know that my fellow Israelites, you got some fellow church members, you got some fellow Christians, you got some fellow co-workers, you got some fellow family members who are going to allow their fears to melt the hearts of the people. But regardless of what their report is about whatever it is God said to you, you make sure that you follow God wholeheartedly. You remember the promise that God made to you. You remember the vision that God gave you. What if it's taken a few days, a few weeks, a few months, a few years? Is it beginning to fade? Is it beginning to dimmer? Well, watch the text, because in verse 10 it says, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. Watch this. He says, so here I am today, 85 years old. He said, I've been faithful, and I didn't know how long it was going to take. The days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months, and the months turned into years. 1 year, and 2 years, and somebody right now under the sound of my voice is saying, how long, Lord? When is my breakthrough going to come? When is the promise going to manifest itself? I don't care if it's relationships. I don't care if it's professional. I don't care if it's situational, conditional, whatever, financial. Caleb, and then you got folk in your ear. And if they ain't in your ear, they on your Twitter. They're not on your Twitter. They're in your text messages. And they got all this stuff. You trying to figure out, but I know what God said to me. Lord, I know you didn't bring me this far to leave me. But I know I didn't come this far to leave you either. He said, I'm 85 years old. But watch verse 11. He says, but I'm still as strong today. Woo, Jesus. Woo, y'all gotta get, woo, y'all missing the word of God. He said, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. And that was 45 years ago. He said, I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. I can't get no help. Verse 12 says, now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day. That's where you get that term, stand tall. You can stand tall on the word of God. Caleb is saying, my physical eyes may have grown dim, but I still have a vision of what God has promised me. In other words, what God has for me, it is for me. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I've stopped by here today to encourage you. Stop by to encourage you in your walk, in your talk, in your ministry. And ministry is not just in the pulpit. Ministry is not on the front pew. Ministry is not just on the back pew. Matter of fact, ministry is not just in the pews at all. Talking about the ministry at your home, the ministry that God gave you in your profession, the ministry that God gave you as parents, grandparents, single parents, adopted, foster, whatever the case may be, the ministry of just being a child of God. Because one of the greatest ministries in the church that we don't talk about the most is the ministry of helps. Amen. But I'm here to encourage you, to speak into you, that I believe that God has given you a brighter vision than ever before. I believe that God is going to use you, and even in this church, he's going to use all of us to his glory. But I believe he's going to do it no less than, minimally, if not greater than, he has already done in the past. Where are you in your walk? Where are you in your faith in God? Caleb said, I may be 85, but I'm vigorous, strong, and ready to go. Amen. Every year, whether you like it or not, every year you and I and this church gets a little older, just like everything else. A lot of things have happened over the years of your life. A lot of things have happened over the years of this church. But that's no reason to send the vision that God gave you and the promise that God has made to you to the nursing home or to the retirement community. You know what God has said to you. You know what God has promised you. You know the timetable that God maybe has said that he's going to give it to you. But you can't hurry God. And make sure that you don't give up on God. Because as soon as you give up, it's always too soon. God is not finished with you. And I'm here to let you know God is not finished with this church yet either. He has given us a new, fresh, brighter vision than ever before. As I get ready to close, again, I ask you, do you believe that your best years are behind you? Or do you believe that your best years are yet in front of you? If you're taking notes You probably have written down a couple of things. If you're taking notes, you need to write this down. It's not time to retire, but it's time for you and us as a church to refire. I'll say it again. It's not time for us to retire. But whatever it is, you can speak it into whatever your situation. You unhappy on your job until God moves you into that new one, you refire. It ain't time for you to retire. It might be time for you to refire. You sick and tired of being sick and tired? It's not time for you to retire. Don't give up yet. Don't give up too soon. It might be time for you to refire. You know God is a healer, and you know God is a way maker, and you know God can do anything but fail. Now is not the time for you and I to lay back and take it easy. Now is not the time for us to reminisce over our victories or even wallow in our past defeats. But now is the time to seize the future, because the best years are actually still ahead of us. God is ready to give you new vitality, new victory, new joy, new fellowship, and all you need to do is be ready to respond. Here's one more point I'm going to make, and I'm going to let you go. When you live out your destiny, hear me today, hear me. When you live out your destiny, you don't measure what you've done according to what someone else has done. Nor is your destiny to be confused with a busy life. But when your life is filled with purpose, you measure what you have done according to what you were created to do. Do you remember what you said earlier? With conviction and assertion? Maybe you need to remind yourself. Say it out loud again. What God has for me. See, y'all done got tired. And I understand, because you're still waiting maybe to receive what God has for you. Whether it's a mate, whether it's a position, whether it's a promotion, whether it's some money, whether it's even a potential change in your occupation. You still saying, what God has for me, it is for me, but I got it, so maybe you done got tired. But God is here to remind you, listen, the promise hasn't changed. And you can still stand on the promise. As a matter of fact, there's a beautiful song. It's entitled, What God Has For Me. And here a few words, lyrics. It says, what God has for me, it is for me. What God has for me, it is for me. I know without a doubt that he will bring me out. What God has for me, it is for me. What God has for me, the blessing he has in store for me, what God has for me is going to get me the things in reach. What God has for me, my peace, my joy, my understanding, what God has for me, it is for me. Do me a favor. Hold on to the vision that God gave you, and hold on to the promise that God made you. Because what God has for you, it is for you. The doors of the church are open. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.